Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed just to be awake, just to be a child of God, just to know that I am blessed and that I am called by his name. Hallelujah. Before I get started this morning, I just want to give a shout out to the awesome women of Table of Life Ministries. I know you're like, here she goes talking about a church. I love my church. And for the last 10 years, 2012, I was the director and creator of the women's ministry at Table of Life. And my tenure has ended as director, and a new director has been appointed. And I just want to shout out Carla Sturdivant, who will be taking my place, and who is a wonderful and mighty woman of God. And I just want to say thank you for a beautiful party that I was given last night, which was not only a surprise to me, but a surprise to everyone in attendance. And so I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I'm blessed to have an awesome pastor who cares about all of us. So thank you. Shout out to W Faith. I know we are going to be moving forward, and I am excited to be a part of it and to be a part of all the things that are to come. We're soaring, ladies. And I say to all of you, soar for God. You know, soar for God, because it's time for us to move forward. And, you know, just for those that are like, well, what are you going to be doing? I am now going to be youth pastor. And so I'm working on getting some things together for the youth department so we can also soar. So I'm thanking God for all of you that listen in to Moving Forward. This is the ministry that God gave me, separate and apart from my church ministry. And I guess in Moving Forward, I am Pastor Bridget. But I am just Minister Bridget, and I love what I do for God. His word is important. And when we study it and gain knowledge of it, we have a fighting chance. So much misinformation is out in the world. So many people have fallen for the okey-doke that the Antichrist has thrown at us as ministers and pastors and teachers and apostles. There are so many false prophets that are preaching the gospel of hate, and it is not of God. And in the word of God today, you know, our title actually is coming out of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. That's why we read the word of God. That's why we study it. And that is why we will be in this Bible one more year. Whew. I was studying and asking and looking, and God just kept bringing me back to this Bible. So Dr. Stanley will be with us for another year as we study the word of God and pray that we learn even more as we go through the Bible in next year, God willing, because we are not promised tomorrow. So we always must say, God willing, we will continue doing what we do. But right now, we're getting ready to get in our word. Father God in heaven, I can do no more than say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Father God, I pray that this word will touch someone's heart, will touch someone's mind, will touch someone's spirit, that the scales that may be on their eyes will be removed and they will see clearly. what you are trying to tell us, God. Help us all to see clearly what you're trying to tell us, God, that we will walk in righteousness, that we will walk in hope in the future, that we will walk in love. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I lift up this word. And as I pray every day, Father God, increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer. You are my absolute. And I give myself away this morning, Lord God, for you to use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength, of my life, and the love of my life. I love God. And the one thing I know without any doubt in my mind is he loves me back. Wow. He loves me back. And I'm grateful. So let's get in the word, family. And what do we say? It is a great word. Because, again, it just started in Hosea on yesterday. And he was given an edit that he had to marry. And the woman he had to marry was a prostitute named Gomer. And they had three children. And the only one, if you come back to chapter 1, and it says, so he went into Gomer, the daughter of Zebulun, and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel. But in a little while, I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. Now understand, it says here, and she conceived and bore him a son. But now when it comes down to the next kid, it doesn't say she conceived and bore him a daughter. The him is gone. If you go back up to Jezreel, bore him a son, meaning Hosea. But when it comes down to La Ruhama, says she bore a daughter. It doesn't say that that daughter is his. And then as you get to the third one, now when she had weaned La Ruhama, she conceived and bore a son. And it doesn't say bore him. It says bore us. So just throwing it out there. We don't know. We know mama's baby. And we're just assuming daddy's maybe in this situation. We know that Jezreel is Hosea. But the rest, just throwing it out there. You know, that's one of them I heard. But the word of God says, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover. Meaning Gomer done went back out into the world, committing adultery. Now she's put into probably prostitution, slavery, being trafficked because she's now a slave and he's got to buy her back. And this is what it says. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committed adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, because that's what God was using Gomer as a metaphor for Israel. She was a hot mess. Israel was a hot mess. She was going out doing stuff. She didn't have any business. Israel was going out doing stuff. They didn't have any business. Cheating on God. Cheating on her husband. And this is what it goes on to say. So I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homer of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. afterwards the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed. And you read that and you say, what does that sound like? It sounds like our country. It sounds like the stuff that's going on here and all over this planet. Every one of us from whichever country you are that listen in, I tell you, does this not sound familiar? There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Folks saying, huh, I don't believe in that. By swearing and lying, we see it every day in our political circles. Folks just lying and swearing and knowing that they're lying and swearing, killing and stealing and committing adultery all over. Can't turn on the television without seeing it. Again, as a communications major, what do we hear? When it bleeds, it leads. Murder, mayhem, and craziness leads, and that's what you hear. They will throw out something to create controversy because controversy and controversial people lead in the media. If you don't put it out there, then you have no viewers. And that's why all this craziness is out there, because you want to see how many clicks, how many leads, how many things you can get, because it's all about money. Not about salvation, not about anything, but about money. The root, I would say, the love of money, not money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Come on now. We got to stop and think and know that God is tired of foolishness. And he says it in his word, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Come on now. The oceans are warming up, and fish are dying. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hear it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten to the law of your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments and all the laws and the prophets, as Yeshua, as spoken by Jesus our Savior, as spoken for us to know. Loving God, loving each other, this hateful rhetoric that's going on all over the world is not of God. Folks hating each other. Read something that says, well, somebody, they just hate this and they hate that. No, they don't. God is not a hateful God. But he's a jealous God. And he's not going to play. We all got to stand before him and give an account of us. I can't account for you, but I will be responsible for you if I don't tell you the truth that's in God's word. Not mine, but God's word. Not my opinion, but God's word. I also will forget your children, is what the word tells us. It says, the more they increase, the more they sin against me, I will change their glory into shame They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, new wine enslaves the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. Spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills under oaks, poplars, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and their bride commits adultery, and your bride commits adultery. I will not punish your daughters. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit harlotry. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices which are ritual harlots. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Bethaven, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. But Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rules dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in his wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifice. Let's go back into our word, because we have a life principle this morning, as well as our life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And, you know, for those that are just joining us, for next year we will be in this same Bible, so please get one. And it is the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Physical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a great book to learn and read the entire word, but it's also a great book to meditate on every night. And when I say the book, this is a book of life. This book tells us what we must do to live a righteous life. It's called A Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. We call it our Bible. And we got to stand on this word. We got to do what thus says the Lord. Because life is hard, and people are dying every day who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for my day. I thank you for giving me another day. You didn't have to, but you did. And all I can say is, Lord, for another day. Thank you for hope in the future. If we study and show ourselves the truth, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. How many times do you watch the news and you hear people talking and you say, that's not true. That's not true. Because they have been destroyed from lack of knowledge. I'd rather take 2 seconds to read whatever garbage is on Facebook or in Twitter instead of picking up a book or picking up this basic instruction before leaving earth, this Bible, picking up God's word and reading it for myself. I'll listen to a snippet. Think I done did something. Ooh, they sure did preach. What did they preach for? Well, it sounded good. Okay. A word of God. I am excited when my pastor preaches, because she has memorized so much of the word. I mean, scripture out, and we'll go there. you know, will speak it and memorize it. And you know she's speaking it because you memorized it too. She spoke the 23rd Psalm on Sunday. And, you know, of course, our favorite scripture is Psalms 133. And, you know, she goes and she speaks and she loves God. But she's got the word ingrained inside of her. So she doesn't have to pick it up. But you know she's speaking the word of God because it's gone from the book into her soul. And that's what we want. I want this word into my soul. As the Lord told Ezekiel to eat the word, I want to eat it too. I want to eat all of it. I want to know it. I want to speak it. I want to have it in my mind and in my spirit. Because one day they're going to try to take these books from us. They're going to have to be hidden. They're going to have to be stored in special places that nobody can take it. We are going into crazy. And so many people going into politics and going into leadership don't even believe this word. And that's why we got to stand on it and meditate on it every day. And as we go into the life lessons, it says in Hosea chapter 3 and 5, they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. We may know what it means to fear the Lord, but what does it mean to fear his goodness? Hosea means that the goodness of God to us is so great and undeserved that it ought to make us tremble. And when we go into this life principle, it says this, as children of a father God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Life is not simple. We face many bumps and turns along the way. The race is real. The battle contentious and the painful experience is piercing. But our environment determines neither our circumstances nor our reaction to them. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is populated with men and women who endured despite adverse circumstances. You may say, well, sure, they endured. I mean, look how their story turned out. Well, they didn't know how their story was going to turn out. And you don't know how yours is going to end either. So how did they demonstrate such strong faith in God? They did so because they understood God knew how everything was going to turn out. It made perfect sense to them to entrust their future to a sovereign Lord. In the fifth grade, a young man, now a pastor, had to memorize the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. His mother says that exercise probably became one of the most important parts of his education. Although he went all the way through seminary, he committed to memory this repertoire of a godly person who endured. When he went through a rough time in the ministry, the Lord reminded him of these great people of faith who endured. When I look at the Bible's unseen cloud of witnesses, I think of Joseph, who endured though life was unfair. I think of David, who endured though he was so lonely, and Moses, who took no shortcuts through the land with his grumbling people. I think of Peter, stumbling and falling, getting up again and again. We can say, God, if they endured, so can I, because you are just as sovereign today as you were then. You love me just as much as you love them. Although I spent little time with my grandfather, Mrs. Oxley's family, he greatly encouraged me. Once he said to me, Charles, obey God and leave the consequences to him. That statement from an encounter has sustained me through many battles. And I can only say, as a child, when I was going through, my godparents never let me get by. They said, you got to work hard because life is not always going to be fair. is not going to be fair, but you know who you are. You know who you are, and you work hard to achieve and to do better. And I see it, and I'm grateful that they love me through my bad. They love me through my good. They love me through my ugly. But we can be some, teenagers can be ugly. Mouth just goes to moving when we need to be quiet. But we think we know everything. And I have to say, I'm grateful for the short that it is to get my attention because my mouth was getting the best of me. And my shoe shouldn't have been on the other side of the room in the first place. But the bottom line is, and that's a story for another day, about being a disobedient person. A child, I was disobedient and thought I could get away with something, and I couldn't, like a bad grade, because I was talking in class. Communications was my major, you know, and God knows me, because I started off wanting to be an accountant, and some reason, I don't know how I wound up in communications, but it was all God's preparation for what I do today. So all I can say is thank you, Lord. And God is working on me, y'all. I'm going to eventually write that book. So I'm grateful for the thoughts that God has given me and for the privilege to know who he is. And this is what the word of God continues when Dr. Stanley says, God knows the Christian life is not easy. And it's not. It will never be easy. No matter how long you live, there is always a battle. You will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until you die. Satan is not going to say, well, he is 62 now and retired. Or in my case, he's 63. Or she's 63 and retired. He does that little part-time thing, talking about it to Colin. But I'm going to knock her down. I'm going to mess with her knees. You know, I'm going to give her arthritis. Oops, I think she might have carpal tunnel. The devil is alive. And my job that I do is a calling. Because there's nothing better and more rewarding than taking care of seniors, taking care of children, taking care of what have become the least among us. Being a woman of God to take God wherever I go, that when people see that who I am, it's like, oh, you're a Christian. They just know because God's light is shining. We got to let God's light shine. And don't let the devil tell you who you are. He don't know you. He doesn't know you. He didn't have anything to do with your creation. But God is the potter, and we are his clay. And we give the devil too much credit. And the word of God, one more time, what Dr. Stanley says, you will deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil until you die. And that is the truth. Satan is not going to say, well, he is 62 now and retired, so I guess I'll give him a break. The enemy has an incredible record for perseverance. Endurance requires something that doesn't come easy. We have to stand for something and against something. And we can do that only by trusting in a sovereign God. Are you going to stand for it? Are you going to stand for it? And make sure what you think is your right is right. And how do you determine if what you think is right? Go to this book. Go to this word of God. And you will know by reading it and studying it and asking God, God, show me. And you'll just turn a page, and what you need is right there. There have been times where I've been going through, and I just get my Bible, and I'm just reaching out and calling to God and say, Lord, I need a word from you. And I tell you this, God will give you a word that you need. It will come right from his word to you, what you need to hear, what you need to read. Read it, study it, and do it. Hallelujah. We got to be doers of this word. And as we continue, it says, getting emotional here. When the going gets rough, and it will, we can't turn away. We can't run away. We can't quit. The longer we push the limits, the stronger our faith becomes. And when we push, we pray until something happens. So we become ready for greater service and expanded ministry. We become strong, forward, and steadfast. A woman noticed a friend hobbling along. When she asked about the problem, her friend simply answered, "I am trying to lose weight through exercise, and my personal trainer is killing me." We have a personal trainer who wants us fit for the race, but who will never kill us. In the meantime, he knows our individual racetrack. He knows the piece we need to take. He knows what goal he has set for us. He knows what makes us weary. He is sovereign. We endure when we remember how he endured, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. The one who endured the cross lives in you so that you can endure yours. If you stumble, he is there to pick you up. If your trail gets narrow or the bridge is out, don't turn around. Keep an eye on Jesus. Don't quit. Endure. When you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he set you on your course. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. I was 13 years old, never knowing that year my life would change. But it did. And I'm grateful for salvation. I'm grateful to Jesus, who is my Savior. It says he had it all mapped out as the sovereign Lord. Bumps, quick turns, detours, uphills, down valleys, everything. He didn't just fire the starting pistol and hope you could find your way. He sent the Holy Spirit to tell you. You aren't running alone. You don't have to clench your fist in order to endure. Just recognize that your sovereign Lord is with you in every situation and call upon him to infuse you with his power. You are never a victim of your circumstances, for your sovereign God has determined to use everything that happens to you for your blessing and his grace. Hallelujah. Ooh, this word's going to make me run all over the place. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, which is the title of our lesson this morning. It only in the Lord do we find life. Then we had better make it a priority to learn as much about him. And that means spending prayerful and extended time in his word. Prayerful and extended time in his word. Thank you for spending this hour of the day with me as we go through the word of God, as we listen to what Dr. Stanley has to say, because I know in my heart this man loves God. And that's why God keeps sending me back to this Bible to use as our study material. And all I can say is thank you, God, and thank you for sending this word to me, because it has helped me so much. And I hope it has helped you as well. In Hosea 4:10, they shall eat but not have enough. You have it right now. Folks, so greedy. You're a billionaire, almost a trillionaire. What in the world do you need more money for? What are you going to do with it? Because you cannot take it with you. You can't. All the stuff, as I look around, I cannot take one stitch of what I have with me. And then it's like, why are you wanting to accumulate more? I don't. I'm good. I don't need anything else. Get rid of the stuff I got. It's just sometimes you can be overwhelmed with stuff. And all these people with all the houses and all the cars, you can only drive one car at a time. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. Yes, I'm not going to say that money is not important, because you need it to do good. You need it to do what you need to do. You need it to help others. You need God. We all do. And it says, well, when we obey the Lord, he can take a little and make it stretch a long way. And I know that for a fact. 2 Kings 4:2-7. But when we disobey, he can take a lot and make it seem like nothing. Ecclesiastes 6:3-6. The choice is ours. I say it again. The choice is ours. Our psalm this morning is Psalms 138, Psalms 7-8. And it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect what which concerns me. I love this. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. We are the work of his hands. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Be happy is he, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. God is good, y'all. He is awesome. And I can do it. I get all excited because when I go to Dr. Stanley's life lesson for this word, he says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What happens when a society rejects God's revelation and everyone does as he sees fit? You get a culture that looks a lot like the perverted one described in the book of Judges, and it never works. We are living this. People, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do me. You hear it all the time. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to do me. With attitude, I'm going to do me. But what if doing you hurts someone else? What if doing you causes someone else to stumble? What if doing you causes someone else's life? You will be held accountable for doing you. And that God wants us to know who he is so we can be who we are, because he is in us. We want to be the best we can be because we love God. And we want to be who he says we should be. We want to make our Father proud that we're doing the work he has called us to do. We are living the life he has called us to live. Not perfect, no, we're not. But we are all striving to be better. 1 John 4:10, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. That's for us. That's for Christians. That's for people of life, people of light, people of faith. That's for us believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Keep that in your arsenal. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. Don't just sit in a pew and because somebody has, they can volume and they can whoop and they can holler and they can, man, they can make it feel like, yes, I got to tell you something. I got all that screaming and hollering. And it's all going into your sensory and you're thinking, oh, he sure is preaching. And then you ask yourself, that's why you write down, you take notes. Because what happened is when you're listening and you're taking notes, if something don't sound right, you got it written down. You're like, wait, that's not in the word. That's not, that's not biblical. That's not correct. Because the word is in you. The word is a part of who you are. So that spirit of God ignites. The Lord will show you every time when something is not right. And we got to listen to that voice that speaks to us, that holy voice that shows you right from wrong. Not to go right when you need to go left, and not to go left when you need to go right. And not to go left or right when you need to go straight. We got to listen to the voice of God. And it says, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's a highlightable. That's a highlightable. And I'll read it to you again. You are of God. Say, I am of God. I am one of his children. And I will overcome them, because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. We got to make this word personal. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, are of the world. Therefore, they speak as if of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Who do you belong to? We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we got to claim who we are. Beloved, let us love one another. There's the word, that action word called love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. I say it again. This word is all through the Bible. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love, is not hateful. God is not a hypocrite. God is not cruel and vengeful. Again, let me get that down. Cruel and vengeful. He is a vengeance is mine. And he will revenge you. He will take up and protect you. But understand, vengeance and vengeful are two different things. God loves his children, and he's going to protect them. And it goes on to say, in this the love of God manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son, thank you, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God first and love each other. God is not hateful. God is not judging. God is loving. God wants us to be the best we can be. And when I say God is not judging, he did not give us the judgment. He will be the judge, the absolute judge of all of us, of me, of you, of all of us. He's already writing our book. He's already writing our story. He's already doing it all right now. He's the author and finisher of everything. But we can't judge each other. We got to love each other. Because sometimes the only Jesus somebody's going to see is you. And is he going to see a hateful you or a loving you? Is he going to see somebody who's always got to be right and you're always going to be on the bottom and they're going to always be on the top because they're going to beat you down? We can't take this word and beat somebody over the head with it. We got to show them this word, and that is love. Loving God and loving each other. It goes on to say, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, I confess Jesus is the Son of God, and he is my Savior. And I am blessed to be a child of God, and I get filled up when I think about his sacrifice for me, that he died for me. I make it personal, because when I make it personal, I do better. Personal that he died for me. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you, God. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. I'm going to read it again. If someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. That he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And that is our word for this morning. But a couple of life lessons from John. 1 John chapter 4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Anytime we resist some temptation, overcome some spiritual challenge, or triumph in a contest of faith, we do so because God's Spirit lives in us. We move ahead in a walk with God by relying on the power, on his power, not ours. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God. God is love. Can y'all say that with me? God is love. To be transformed into an image of Christ, God's ultimate goal for us means to increasingly reflect his loving character in our behavior and attitudes. Therefore, if we are not becoming more loving, we have taken a wrong turn somewhere. Love for God is not merely a warm sentiment or a pleasant feeling. It is a living, active force that changes who we are. Jesus himself forever connected love for God with love for people. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And I pray, may the Lord add a blessing to the listening and the reading of his magnificent word this morning. And before we go, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. From Carolyn's gift this morning. I'm filled up because I know that God loves us all. And the word that Sister Carolyn gave us is right on point. Good morning. Stress and worry don't change anything but you. Let go and know that God has it worked out for you. Have a triumphant Tuesday. And I've got to say, have a trusting in God Tuesday, because God loves you. And we're going to triumph over the enemy because we have God in us through his Holy Spirit. Keep God first, family, in everything you do, and watch him work in your life. And our word for today in our book of prayer is this: free to serve. As God's loving servants, there's love again. You should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. We can't be of the world. And this is our prayer this morning, Redeemer. What a wonderful reality that you have set me free with no strings attached. Thank you that you did not purchase my freedom to make me a slave. I get to choose out of my own heart and will to follow you. You are so worth it. The goodness that I've tasted and seen in you is only a glimpse of what you have stored up for your people. Why would I choose to live for myself and my own good when that leads to disappointment in the end? Your plans are always better than my own. I've seen that play out too many times to question whether it remains true. Today I bind my will to yours, not pushing or pulling to get my own way. I trust that your intentions for me and for those around me are better than my own. I will follow where you lead today. And the question is this: do you follow God out of the joy of the freedom he gives, or out of obligation? Something to think about this morning. Keep God first, family. And remember, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ask God to give you understanding, discernment, and knowledge. And keep trusting in his word and watch him work in your life. That's all I got this morning. If there's anyone that has a word that they would like to speak, now is the time to push the number 1-394-33-597, and your line will be open. If not, I pray that this word touched your heart as much as it touched mine. Keep God first, family, and know that you are loved more than you could ever imagine, because God is love. Have a blessed day, and as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and you are loved. Have a blessed day, family. And please join me, God's will, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Love you all. Love you much. Because God is love. And he loves me and he loves you. Have a great day. It's a wrap.